Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Ever noticed how time alone, a little space, a slower pace, and things kind of sort themselves out? We'll add some spectacular scenery, tons of birds and cougars, bears, and a legendary old river, and you've got the makings of a powerful good time. Find out about one of America's finest national parks, where all this is yours every day of the year, when we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Let's say you wanted to get away and think about the earth, do a little digging for meaning, touching nature, letting nature touch you. We all need to reconnect to the deeper meaning of life. Our National Park of the Week is a place for you to wander to. It's a place for the writers and thinkers, nature people, and explorers to come. Big Bend National Park sits up against the Rio Grande River, a river of great power and legend. To help us discover this somewhat obscure but legendary wonder is Big Bend's Chief of Interpretation, David Elkowitz. David, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you, Sydney. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's start out with a little bit of a weather report. Give people a sense of how life is down there right now.
Well, it really varies with where you are here in the park. The park has elevations ranging from about 2,000 to almost 8,000. So at the lower elevations, probably in the 90s, sunny. Really pretty day in the mountains, probably in the low 80s, and just beautiful. Great for hiking.
Well, you know, that's going to be part of the theme of this discussion about Big Bend, because this variation in altitude and, of course, the weather is a big part of why this park is so exciting. So give us a fix on the location of Big Bend National Park.
Well, Big Bend is in southwest Texas. It is right along the Rio Grande, as you said, the river of legend and fable, and still a river today used for people that like to raft and or canoe. Big Bend is reasonably remote, but is accessible by airport and car, and many people do find a way here and stay for days at a time because there's so much to do.
Well, my take on the park is that it's a tribute to the diversity of the Southwest. So let's take a look at some of that diversity. Let's start with some of the natural features. It really, by the way, I encourage listeners to go to the website, Wildside News, and look at today's webpage for this segment, because you'll be amazed. So let's talk about that.
The diversity of the park is just amazing, whatever way you want to look at it, whether you look at it from a geology or paleontology or history standpoint. We have the romantic history of the West and the border culture, which are both are unique and wonderful. But in terms of natural history is one of the main reasons the park was set aside. Tremendous numbers of birds, over 450, over 75 species of mammals, including, like you said in your introduction, cougars, bears, deer, bighorn sheep, and other types of large mammals. Lots of reptiles, amphibians, and over 1,200 species of plants. Even though this is largely considered desert, it is very green and very diverse much of the year.
Well, it's not just desert, too. Let's start going up the hill here now, because you start with the river. That's probably the low point in the park, I suppose.
The river is the low point in the park. Elevations there are 1,800 to about 2,000 above sea level. And there's a green corridor along the river, ducks and waterfowl of all kinds and turtles and you name it, beaver and such. From there you go out across the Chihuahuan Desert, which is the wettest of the deserts, and thus it is full of mesas and a lot of what people associate with the Wild West or cowboy movies, but it's relatively very green and very diverse in terms of having a lot of plants. From there you go up into the Chisos Mountains. It is a wholly different place. At 5,400 feet and going up to almost 8,000 feet, there's forests, trees, great diversity of life, springs, just a great place to hike or camp.
It's an absolutely gorgeous landscape there with the red rocks and the buttes, the river, and also the sky, of course, in the southwest is one of the miraculous realities there.
Absolutely. We have among the best night skies to be found anywhere in the continental U.S. And actually, a lot of people come here just for stargazing. People from areas where there's a lot of light aren't just flabbergasted by the number of stars at night here.
Well, you know, let's talk about some of the opportunities for people to visit the park. In other words, you know, there's camping and hiking, and well, let's talk about some of the options for recreation there.
The options are almost limitless. In terms of camping, we have all different kinds, regular family camping and campgrounds with picnic tables and bathrooms, backcountry camping you can drive to with a car or a four-wheel drive and be out by yourself, backpacking of all types and sizes, river rafting and camping on the river for multi-night trips. We do have a hotel in the park. The hotel offers modern accommodations, a restaurant. It's up in the basin where it's just beautiful in the evenings. It's very pleasant. So your options are many. There's also a number of options on the western side and northern side of the park in terms of hotels and camping as well.
Again, diversity seems to be the theme. It is an amazing park when you really get to know the place, and I'm going to encourage everybody to take a serious look at Big Bend National Park. I think one of the amazing things about the park in terms of a quality visit is the fact that there aren't millions of people there.
That is one of the unique things. Given the fact that this is one of the largest parks in the country, the remoteness is what really makes it unique. 350,000 visitors a year is the average here, as opposed to a park that would be closer to major highways, which might get in the millions, and thus at least the easy-to-get-to areas would be more crowded. This park has just wonderful opportunities for solitude and getting away from it.
For me, that would be one of the grandest aspects of a visit to Big Bend, and I have been there, and that is exactly the feeling. You have an opportunity to reconnect with stuff that's hard to find anymore, quite honestly, living in the modern age, and you can find those values and those experiences at Big Bend. It's an amazing place.
It really is, and we have a very faithful following of visitors. Many people that come here will spend at least 3 to 4 nights and will come back year after year. Thus, this is a destination more than a stop, in my opinion. There's plenty to do here for a week's vacation.
Well, now, of course, now, the birding is a large attraction there. Let's talk about the incredible diversity of bird species you have.
Birding is certainly one of our big draws in that some types of birds cannot be found anywhere else in the United States except here. The best example of that is the Colima warbler. It's a Mexican species of bird, and the only known place in the continental U.S. or any part of the U.S. is the Chisos Mountains in the center of the park, if you wish to see this bird in the United States. But there's tons of other types of birds to see, everything from rare hawks like blackhawks and greyhawks to hummingbirds of all kinds to lots of buntings and lots of other types of birds, vireos, warblers, and such.
So bring a good field guide and a pair of binoculars.
You bet.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of the big species, too, some of your grand predators.
We have most of the grand predators that should be here, including mountain lion. They're the top of the food chain. And there's a couple of dozen mountain lion that live year-round in the park and are quite healthy. They eat deer and javelina and are critical to their population's health. We have bear, black bear, other big predators, bobcat, coyote as well.
Yeah, and you have an opportunity to see these. You will if you spend time there, particularly if you head out in the mornings and the evenings. You're more likely to see some of these creatures than at other times, and that all by itself is magic because it's something that a lot of people never have an opportunity to experience. You know, I visited there. I was living in Santa Fe. I came down there in the winter because it was an opportunity to kind of get away from the snow and the cold. And that's exactly what happened. So you're kind of known as a winter park. But, you know, from what I understand, that attitude is changing about Big Bend. Let's talk about that.
That really is an interesting part of Big Bend. Big Bend is largely known as a winter park because we have very warm temperatures, relatively speaking, in the wintertime at the low elevations. But people forget that the high country, the mountains, are quite cool relatively in the summer. Normally in the 80s, well-shaded trails for hiking and backpacking. It's a great time to visit in the summertime because you have the trails almost entirely to yourself, and they're beautiful.
I think also you don't have the humidity. Am I right about that?
You sure are. We have very low humidity here relatively, and it's really comfortable that way in terms of even on warmer days, it's dry.
And, of course, that cuts down on the bugs and things like that, which is a blessing if you're outdoors a lot. That can be kind of irritating.
It sure is. We have few bugs.
Also,
relatively speaking.
Yeah, relatively speaking, I understand. But I grew up in Minnesota. Enough said. So Also, you're doing a variety of rather interesting interpretive programming. Let's talk about some of the events that people can experience when they come to your park.
That is another nice thing about Big Bend, and the fact that we have a number of people that stay overnight, campgrounds, hotels, and such. We run programs or interpretive programs and such pretty much every day, 365 days of the year, sometimes several programs a day, and they vary. They vary from hikes to walks to evening slide programs, and they're great opportunities to get out and experience Big Bend. We do a lot of birding programs. We do programs on the history, the geology. We do hiking. You name it. There are different opportunities throughout the year to learn about this resource.
And do you offer that programming year-round?
We do.
See, that's kind of unique because a lot of parks don't really do that.
A lot of parks are limited to weekends or holidays just because that's when the people are there. But with us, it's every day that people are here, and so we run programs every day.
And I also understand that you're doing some nighttime programming as well.
We are. We're doing some star programs among our other nighttime opportunities. We also typically do an evening program, which will be an amphitheater program with a ranger, kind of like the old-time fire programs, except we do ours without a fire, but in the amphitheater at night, slides and or PowerPoint.
You know, about the only thing missing is an ocean. I mean, you've got beauty, you've got solitude, you have open spaces, you have an opportunity for people to connect in ways that they probably can't in many other areas. You offer excellent camping, a diversity of bird species, wild animals, great programming. What's missing?
There really isn't anything missing, in my opinion. It's just a great place to be, and it's a great place to spend time and connect.
Tell us how they can our listeners can find your website.
That's easy. Go to the National Park Service site, which is www.nps, which stands for National Park Service, .gov. And from there, just select Big Bend among the list of parks.
Thanks, David Alkowitz, Chief of Interpretation, Big Bend, for being on the Wild Side News. When we come back next week, we'll continue the adventure. Bye.